Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The Lord describes here two sorts of people. Those two sorts of people are those that hear what Jesus says and immediately put it into action. And those who hear what Jesus says and don't bother. Those who hear what Jesus says and put it into action will, like everybody else, know bad times. But he's likened to a man that built himself upon a rock, and Christ's teaching is like a rock. But bad things happen in life. Rain descends. And of course, if it keeps raining, the floods come. And then the winds blow and make the floods even worse. And they beat upon the house. That's our lives. And our lives, built upon the words of Jesus Christ and of the whole Bible, when difficulties come, when problems come, when trials come, will not collapse. But others hear the same words of Jesus, and their reaction to those same words is different. They don't bother with them at all. Their house is built on sand instead of the strength of a rock of Jesus Christ, upon sand that shifts. And the same thing happens to them. The rain descends, the floods come, and the winds blow, and they beat upon that house, just like the other man. But in this case, their life collapses, and everything they've ever lived for is broken to pieces. Why? Because they did not listen to the words of Jesus. As I think of this story, the illustration of it, here were two men. Probably went to the same architect, probably had identical houses, and the whole question was, what were they built on? Was the foundation on a rock? Was the foundation on sand? Now, Jesus speaks these words at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to go through one or two bits of the Sermon on the Mount to show how these things apply. But of course, it applies to everything that Jesus ever said, and it also applies to everything in the whole of the Bible. Base your life upon it, and it's like building on a rock. It won't fail it. Don't base your life on it, and for all your good endeavours, life may just collapse under your feet in certain emergencies. Well, if you turn with me, first of all, near the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, and to verse 33. To verse 33. Well, I'll go straight to verse 34. Swear not at all. Swear not at all. I don't know if you've ever sworn. Before I became a Christian, I used to swear every other word. But Jesus says, swear not at all. Not even an imitation swear word like, by jingo, by heavens. Because Jesus goes on to say, if you want to say yes, not yes by jingo. If you want to say no. Don't litter your speech with swearing. Let what you say be simple, straightforward. Yes, no, yes, no. Because he says, whatever is more than this comes from evil. Okay, got that. Let's think about what we thought about before. Everyone that hears that saying of mine and does it, I'll liken him to a wise man who builds his house on a rock, and when the storms of life come, it won't collapse. But those of you who take no notice and swear like that, or whatever, occasionally swear, he's like the foolish man who builds his house upon the sand, and eventually his life will collapse under his feet. Or in chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus is talking about the things he wants believers to do. He's talking about that in front of the whole world, so the whole world knows what he wants believers to do. So Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, drink, food, clothing, shall be added unto you. Don't make it your life's work to eat, to drink, to be clothed. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know we have no righteousness of our own. Righteous means not having sinned. Jesus was perfect, but we are not. So how does God desire people to be righteous? By their sins forgiven through the Lord Jesus. And they belong to Jesus, and Jesus' perfection is how God sees them. They're in Jesus, so he counts that perfection to them. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Back we go then. When you hear this word of Jesus, is that what you're going to do? Is that going to be your first priority? To seek first the kingdom of God and to seek how you may become righteous in him? Because if so, then those who hear my word, the sayings of Jesus, and do them are likened to a man who's built his house on a rock. It's a recipe for maintaining and succeeding in Christ throughout your whole life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But everyone that doesn't, we liken it to a man who put his house in the sand. I hope one day, Jesus said, when he comes again, two people who are doing the same sort of jobs, one will be taken to be with him in heaven, the other will remain. And he gives three illustrations of three different sorts of people who do that. One will be taken, one will remain. So, here we are, we're all sitting together here. Supposing, alternately, one person believed and one person didn't. I'm only joking in a sense, but not in the other sense. But if one believed, one didn't believe, one believed, one didn't believe, one believed, one didn't believe, one believed, one didn't. Even among us, and among all people everywhere, you hear that same word, but you react differently to it. How many of you said just now, seek ye the Lord? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How many said, that's what I want to do, Lord. That's it. And how many just thought, yeah, well, you know, That's how he gets separated. Let's look at another part. In Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, that's measure, gives us the word metric, it shall be measured to you again. Some people are very critical of others. Now, other people have different problems from you. And if you were in their situation, you might do what they do. But what Jesus is teaching is, don't be critical about people. Judge not. Because if you judge people, you're going to be judged in the same way. Primary school children are apt to make fun of other children. Preschool, perhaps they laugh at children who wet themselves. Perhaps if you're good at games, you don't think very much of those people who can't kick a ball if they try and can't run at all without falling over. Maybe when they grow up, they'll look at you and be critical about you in the same way that you were critical about him. He's supposed to be good at drawing. Look at the sort of stuff he draws. You criticize me because I wasn't good at work, couldn't do my studies. What a mess you've made of your exams. That's just an easy way. Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged. So there we go back again. Who, hearing those words, says to the Lord, I won't do it. And if I find myself in that situation, I will take myself to task and say, that was wrong and I won't do it again. How many say, oh, too bad. And leave it at that. Jesus is saying, whosoever heareth these words of mine and does them is like unto someone who puts his house on a rock, whose life does not lead to disaster. But those who hear the very same words and react in the other way, their life will end in disaster. And then in Chapter 7 and verse 12, all part of Jesus' teaching, different things that we need to believe. All things, whatever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. So only do to other people what you really would like them to do to you. Do you keep that? When I was in school, people used to pinch me and nudge me, and because I'd pinch and nudge them back. They asked for it, didn't they? They pinched me, why shouldn't I pinch them back? They nudged me with their hand, why shouldn't I? I also discovered that the one who nudged back always was the one who got caught. The first nudge, the teachers vaguely noticed something, and when you responded, the teacher spotted that. It was never the person who was right who got caught. It was the person who initiated all the trouble. But things, only do things to others that you would like them to do to you. It's a good rule of life. What does Jesus say? He who hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a man, a wise man, who built his house on the sand. But he who takes no notice of what I say be a foolish man building his house on the sand. And of course, what he means is that if you don't obey him in one thing, you won't obey him in other things. I don't know if any of you have become believers and thought about being baptized. The first thing that Jesus asks a new believer to do is to be baptized. So, if we take 3 weeks deciding whether we should be baptized after becoming a Christian, How many weeks are we going to take to do the next thing he asks us? And how many weeks is it going to take to do the thing after that that he asked us? Everything points to doing what the Lord Jesus says as a way of living. Well, I can't go on forever and don't wish to go on forever. But we'll do in chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait, that means narrow. You've heard of the Straits of Dover, because it's so narrow, all the water comes through doubly fast. So strait is narrow. So enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in there, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Well, we don't really have gates on our main roads these days. We do have tolls, which I suppose would stop you going through. But what Jesus is saying is this. There's a narrow path that leads to life, and there's a wide road that leads to destruction, which most people take. And it'd be like saying, everybody goes down the motorway, very few use the footpath. Well, it would depend where you were going, but you get the idea, don't you? And Jesus is saying, the wide, broad, quick road leads to destruction, but the narrow way leads unto life. But there's a sting in the tail of this one. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We're amused, my wife and I, by the lorries with which they're building Sizewell nowadays, because one of the people with tipper trucks is J.T. Few, and they have on their lorry, "Few do it better," and that's quite a thing. Now, Jesus is here. The gate is straight and the way is narrow which leadeth to life, and few there be that findeth. This teaching of Jesus was quite early on. Fair time later, someone came to Jesus, and I think somebody had heard Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount and told him that. And he came to Jesus and he said, "Lord, are there few that are going to be saved?" Jesus didn't say yes. He didn't say no. But his words were saying this: you just be sure you're one of them. You just be sure you're one of them. Narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. There are a few Christians. When we're all added up over all the world, this will be the greatest kingdom that's ever been known. But just now, we're a few here, a few there. It's not what the majority of people do. They gather in their tens of thousands to watch or be involved in other things, but not to come and worship the Lord. But don't be ashamed of being a few. Don't be ashamed of standing out among the crowd. And if you're not ashamed of Jesus, he won't be ashamed of you. And that's a wonderful thing to bear in mind. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is to be contrasted with whosoever heareth these words of mine and doesn't do them. In the one case, his house will stand, the house of his life, even under the most tremendous pressures. Christians get the same pressures as those who are not Christians. But if you don't do Jesus' word, those pressures will overwhelm you, and all you've ever tried to do in life will collapse around you, and the judgment there at the end. Listen to Jesus' words and believe him. Amen. Amen.